If you'll repeat after me, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus.
I have eyes that see.
I have eyes that see.
I have ears that hear.
I have ears that hear.
And my heart does perceive.
My heart does perceive.
You're speaking to me.
You're speaking to me.
Amen?
Amen.
I want to take you to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. I'm going to give you the verse that I believe may change your attitude about what's going on. From a man who was obedient, namely Paul. So we're going to start at verse 24. He said, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. He doesn't talk about all the legalism. He's got a message. And whoever he meets, wherever they are, he gives them the good news of God's grace.
Thank you.
No charge. I want you to back it up now. To verse 13. Paul is in an odd space in his life. And in the NIV, it's called, just before verse 13, Paul's farewell to the Ephesian elders. You need that in mind. Keep that in mind. You know, a reality check here is going on. We went on ahead to the ship and sailed to Azos, where we were going to take Paul aboard. He had made this arrangement because he was going there on foot. When he met us at Azos, we took him aboard and went on to Mytilene. The next day, we set sail from there and arrived off Chios. The day after that, we crossed over to Samos, and on the following day, arrived at Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. I'd like to make a real little check there. He's in a hurry. He's about to bypass some friends. He wants to make it to the feast. Why? It has to have value to him. I can tell you that the majority of people, or I should say very few people in the Christian realm, take time to recognize the feast. If it was that important for Paul, give it a reality check in your own heart. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived and arrested him and ordered him. He said to them, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility, with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. The legal crew, the lawgivers, were what? Testing him severely. Why? Because he was preaching about grace. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and the Greeks that they must turn to the God of repentance, in repentance, and have faith in our Lord Jesus. Meaning, having faith in the Lord Jesus to transform them from where they've been to where they need to be, or where they're going. 22 is quite important. And now, compelled by the Spirit, compelled. There's such a strong word for Paul to use. Compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in the very city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. Say ouch.
Ouch.
Ouch. That was you. You might change your mind about going to the feast. You might get plan B. Plan B might be more comfy. I can remember going to a meeting with some elders, and everything in me wanted to go the other way. There wasn't an ounce of compulsion that I was going to go forward, because I knew what was waiting for me. As I drove, I didn't dare not be in tongues, because if I even thought for half a second, my car would have reversed. I was compelled by the Holy Spirit to make that meeting. And it was the most ugly meeting that you could meet with. The circumstances are not important. But there are times that you're going to be compelled to do. And your brain's going to say, where in the world are you going? You know this is not what you want to do. Notice what you want to do. Watch now. 22 again. I want to repeat it because it's important. Compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen. Not knowing is important. What's going to happen to me there? I only know. So he's got a hint. He's got a little piece to the puzzle, just a little tiny piece. And I would call it an ugly piece to the puzzle. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. It's the Holy Spirit using people that he's hearing. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Anybody who preaches God's grace instead of the law gets persecuted. I said anybody. If you teach the law, you're going to find a lot of comforters in the church and in the churches. I was with someone just a few days ago. And I was reminded that when they were walking in a bad place and in a bad choice, that they called me in the middle of the night. And while I'm on the phone with that person, I had a word of knowledge and a vision. You say they come at night? They come anytime when you need them. And this person was broken, discouraged, and a lot of pain. And it wasn't physical, it was emotional. And they were making bad choices. And out of the word of knowledge that poured out of me were words of compassion, understanding, not fault finding or legalism, but they were words that God knew the depth of that person's hopelessness and understood their choices to try to recover without being judged. And that person today is giving out the same advice to the broken at a cost of their ministry. Because when you preach grace and you preach acceptance beyond judgment, when you preach that God has a merciful Savior who poured out his blood to wash away every sin and every sinful part of your being, spirit, soul, and body, you're going to get some flack. Mm-hmm. Verse 25. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. He knows the future. He's had a hint. He's had a word. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men. Ha ha! What a statement. I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So this message is for those in authority as well as those that are under authority. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Did you hear? He already knows that the wolves are around the corner and he's not putting a stop to it. But he's giving them a heads up. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. It's after them, but I'm saying themselves because that's the purpose. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance. What does grace do? It builds you up and gives you an inheritance. Judgment and fault finding will get you back into hell. Or even while right here on the earth. Because you're going to be miserable. Because you see, you're going to expect everyone to be like you, holy in your own eyes. All you're going to be is holy, meaning full of holes. A lot of lack. Again, 32. I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So sanctification is a reality that's available. I have not coveted of anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In other words, he wasn't a leech. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. Paul is kneeling with his friends. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Yeah. Your life, your circumstances, your challenges, you might have hints of what's happening or what's being prepared. But you know, the willingness to go forward and keep on trucking is something that God has given you as free will. Paul had enough guts to tell them what was happening. He didn't bow to the pressure of his own emotions, because it said he prayed, he knelt down, he took time to be with them and encourage them with a warning. Why is it that we need sometimes to be warned? I believe the warning comes to all of us at different intervals. Because we do get tested. So keep in mind that those that are around you are there not only to support you sometimes, because you may need it, and it's okay to give support, but don't try to change a person from where they believe they need to be or to go, in spite of hardships ahead of them. Because if you want to become their savior, they'll be looking to you for salvation instead of the one that can save you.
That's right.
There were times that I tried to help the Lord out. And you know what happened when I tried to help the Lord?
Not much.
You would not believe some of the things that I did out of my own emotions and failed. And where I thought I was helping, I was actually hindering them from searching for the Lord on their own. And sometimes, you know, when you have a word of conviction inside of your heart that says, do this if it hurts, you may not like it, but it may be God. And if you do it even when it hurts and you give out of your lack, and it's not always lack of finances or time or whatever. Sometimes it's something that's going to emotionally bother you, because you don't want to hurt again. But it's not all about how much pain you've been through. and how much you desire to stop it from happening again, but to trust him that every time he gives you a test, his intention is to build you up and make you strong so that the next test, and they will come, the next test, you will have spiritual muscles. If you go to the gym and you start lifting, you're going to find that your arms are going to be sore. If you use your spiritual muscles, you're going to find that you're going to also be sore. Sometimes be sore in the emotion department. Or upset. Because you don't like the pain. Would you just close your eyes and just close your eyes right now. Say, Holy Spirit. You are available, with so much more grace, to take me through to the finish line. I may not be close to it, but I want some help on the way. Because the journey is not always comfy. Sometimes the journey is truly difficult. But your grace is sufficient for me. And I'm grateful that there's more available as I go forward in obedience. Even if I know something is difficult ahead of me, the grace will be there if I simply trust. By choice. It will be a free will decision. The Lord will not try to make me back off. He'll give me the courage as I cry out to him for grace. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Fellowship Sunday
this coming Sunday. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have munchies. Yep. Great.